Let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. This Sunday night is our Hawaiian Sunday night in July, and so I want to encourage you to wear the absolute ugliest Hawaiian shirt that you possibly can. And who knows, you may win a pineapple that night. And Miss Morris won several. She has atrocious looking clothes that she wears that night, and we just are kind of patient with people that night, but if you don't know what that entails, just find someone that's been around here long enough and ask them, so what's this deal about the Hawaiian shirt thing? And they'll tell you. They may even have a picture on their phone about it. I don't know. But we have that coming up. And then, or something else I just saw. It's next Sunday night? Yeah. Next Sunday night is our, no. I don't have my glasses on. 30th of July. So it's not next Sunday. Next Wednesday. It's the following Wednesday. We're having our... Remember last year when we split, had the ladies in here and the fellows out there? And so we're going to do that a week from this next Wednesday. And so pray for that. And don't forget to mark your calendar. Yes, sweetheart. I can't hear a lick of what you're saying. I need hearing aids now, too. The ladies are supposed to wear flip-flops, okay? Guys, you need to wear boots, apparently. No, I'm joking. Boots and barbecue, that's what we're going to do. No. Hey, that sounds good, though. That was on the fly. Flip-flops and fondue, ladies, so please wear flip-flops. You say, that's just not appropriate for the house of the Lord. Well, that night, the church will be split, and nobody's going to be looking at your ugly toes anyway, so just wear them. Just appease the queen and you'll be fine. Because if mama ain't happy, that's right. See, Mindy, her kids have memorized that. They were over there in chorus saying that. So, all right, Proverbs chapter 18, verses 6 through 8. We're going to read a few verses here tonight. The Bible says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. Anybody ever read that? No one? Two people have read that verse before? Verse 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Lord, we love you, and we thank you again for the inspired, inerrant, infallible, and preserved Word of God. We thank you so much tonight as we read it. Lord, that I believe that the cloud of witnesses are attentive, Lord, as to the decisions that we need to hear and make here tonight as we read the Word of God. I pray that we would cherish our Bibles, and Lord, as we open them, that we would use them aright. I pray that you'd give us wisdom tonight to rightly divide it. I know I need you tonight, and I pray that you'll help me. Lord, please help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain, that I may be filled with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, I believe with all of my heart it is absolutely imperative that you empower me tonight to be a blessing to these people who are here, else I cannot be. And I pray, Lord, simultaneously that you would set a watch at my lips, that you would prevent me from saying anything that would be a hindrance to your Holy Spirit's work, or, Lord, that would be an offense to these people that are here. Help me to be obedient. Help me to say only in all of those things that you would have me to say. I pray this all in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. There are many references to the tongue in Proverbs. We've suggested perhaps on another occasion that if you really want to study or see what the Lord in the book of Proverbs has to say about the tongue, to read Proverbs chapter 12 and Proverbs chapter 18, because they are the two chapters that mention the tongue most frequently. But you would also want to, if you have a reference system in your Bible, to take those chapters and follow the references. By the way, that's what the reference column is for in your Bible, is for studying. So that you go to other books of the Bible and listen to what Scripture has to say about the same topic. We so often take the wonderful gift of speech for granted. And if you ever want to think about how blessed we are to speak, just find someone in public that's deaf, and they would love to be able to speak. I'm always enamored. In fact, when we were at the Men and Boys camp out coming back, there was a group of people I saw. I don't remember where it was, but there was three or four of them that were speaking sign. And I so badly wanted just to go and interrupt them. But I didn't, because I didn't want to get punched or anything for being crazy. But we take for granted the gift of speech, and we abuse an ability many times as speech. We abuse the ability that ought to be guarded and ought to be used for the glory of God. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 4, let your speech be always. If all means all, always means always. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. It doesn't mean that, well, if I'm in a good mood, it says always. It doesn't mean if someone's treated you bad or someone's broken your heart or if someone has betrayed you. It says let it always be seasoned with grace and salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. In fact, it goes on in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 to say, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. When's the last time that your speech ministered grace to somebody? Because that's the privilege that we have to use our speech aright. The tongue ought to be used for righteous purposes, but we need to understand on a daily basis that Satan and the flesh want to control the tongue, and the results of that happening is very sad, and you all know that. Perhaps more damage is done to lives, homes, and churches by the tongue than any other means. In fact, in order to uncover the processes that destroy marriages, marital researchers study couples over the course of years and even decades and retrace the star-crossed lovers' steps, back to those who have split up, from their wedding day. What they are discovering is quite unsettling. None of the factors one would guess might predict a couple's durability actually does. Not how in love a newlywed couple say they are, how much affection they exchange, how much they fight, or what they have, or what they fight about. But instead, couples who will endure and those who won't look remarkably, I'm sorry, those who endure and those who will not look remarkably similar in the early days of their marriage. According to researchers from Catholic University and the University of Denver, they studied newlyweds over the first decade of marriage, and they found a very subtle but telling difference at the beginning of the relationships. Among couples who would ultimately stay together after that span of time, 5 out of every 100 comments made about each other were put-downs. Among couples who would later split up, 10 of every 100 comments were put-downs or insults. Now that gap magnified over the following decade until couples heading downhill were flinging 5 times as many cruel and disparaging and invalidating comments at each other as happy couples were. Hostile put-downs act as cancerous cells, they said, that if unchecked erode the relationship over time. The researcher said, and I quote, in the end, relentless, unremitting negativity takes control, and the people can't get through a week without major blow-ups. Now, please, could you tell me in your own words how you're using your own words? Because they are very powerful. I've spoken many, many times on our speech and on our words and on our tongue. So in our text tonight, Solomon, in an endeavor to help Christians and an endeavor to help his son to learn how to speak, once again is highlighting a lesson on our tongue and speech, and specifically here highlights the speech that we would consider, according to Scripture, foolish. Now, we've talked over and over in the last 4 years about what the fool is, and I'll not go all into that right now. But I would like you to take your Bible or your outlines briefly, and I want to show you 3 biblically descriptive characteristics of our tongue. And I'm going to use these 3 verses as a platform to demonstrate this once again for us, all right? Just to keep it relative here, I want you to think about the day, and I want you to think about how many conversations you had, and I want you to think about how many of those conversations you had that were edifying. In your own words, you know, we talk about the only time you really get the chance in society to brag on yourself is when you have a resume. And in your own words, you get to say how wonderful you are and how you deserve this job. And most of the time, it's embellishment. You always look better on paper than you really are. And I'm not sure how that works. But I do know that in your own words, if you're speaking through your own eyes, you're not all that bad. But why is it that the people that are not all that bad in their own eyes through their own words find a whole lot bad with everyone else with their words? So in your own words, how are you using your words? So let's just consider the tongue tonight. First of all, I want you to turn with me to James chapter 3, and I want you to remember that your tongue is a little member according to the Word of God. A little member. And I want you to go with me to James chapter 3, and I want to look at this passage of Scripture together. James chapter 3, we're going to read several verses here, next 15 or 20 minutes. I want to give you this lesson, and hopefully it'll be a help. The Bible says in James chapter 3 and verse 1, my brethren, so he's speaking to whom? Christians. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue, as the bit and as the helm. Even so the tongue is a, what? Little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and the things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, which is, who's he talking to? Christians. Notice what he says. These things ought not to be so. I want you to consider this little member as the Bible discusses it in the light of our tongue and how we use our words. And I want you to see, first of all, letter A, that our tongue is debased at birth. The Bible says in two verses there that the tongue is poisonous and is a world of iniquity. It's full of iniquity. Consider Job 5 and verse 7 in your notes. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. We are born with a very poisonous tongue. Children are some of the most hurtful people in all of the world. And I'm just saying from birth we understand this principle. It's debased. It's poison. There's nothing good that we have to teach the good if there's going to be any good come out of their mouth. Debased at birth. Secondly, it's defiling by act. The Bible says it defileth the whole body. When you speak something that's poisonous, you're going to poison that which you're speaking of or to. Notice what the Bible says in your notes there, Proverbs 12 and verse 13. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Someone said, I have often regretted my speech, but never my silence. You see, the idea is this tongue may be a little member, but it boasts a great powerful damage if you let it go uncontrolled. Letter C, it's destructive by nature. Now, Job is the one that said, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. It's natural. Heat rises. That's what he's saying. That's how natural it is to sin. But notice Job 41 and verse 19. Out of his mouth go burning lamps and sparks of fire leap out. Now, he's talking about speech. Washington Irvin said, a sharp tongue is the only edged tool that grows keener with constant use. A knife goes duller when you use it, but not the tongue. The tongue gets more wicked. It gets more full of deadly poison. It gets more sharp. There's more piercings of the sword. Proverbs 12 and verse 18 says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. So when we talk about the matter of words, the Bible uses the words to describe those as mouth, lips, words, and tongue. And so here, James says, I want you to remember by way of what God has put in your body, members, this is a member, and it's just a little one. So the tongue is a little member that boasts, however, a great power. So then secondly, Let's just see, though it may be a little member, it's also a revealing member. Now, the narrative in our text tells us the kind of speech that comes from a fool. So you could say that it's revealing. All right, now let's go back to our text in Proverbs here. Hold your place in James. The Bible says, a fool's lips enter into contention and his mouth called for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction. The words of a talebearer. So we understand then that it's a revealing narrative as to what may come from the heart. So Proverbs 14:33 says, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools, listen, is made known. So the Bible very clearly here says that a fool is going to expose that portion of his heart. Proverbs 10 and verse 19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The words of a fool, or we could say foolishly using our words, is going to reveal what is inside of our heart. In your own words, then, how are you using your own words? So, the words that flow from our mouth are the fragrance of our heart. That's where it's coming from. And in our text, we discover at least three attributes of the foolish type of speech, or the fool, the foolish heart. Number one, letter A, it's a heart of pride. Now go back again, keep your finger there in James, but go back to Proverbs chapter 16. The Bible says in verse 18, verse 6, the Bible says, a fool's lips enter into what? Enter into what? And only by pride cometh contention. Now, why is that so significant? Well, it means that he leads out when given the opportunity, and he's always ready for contention. Why? Because the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Always. The fool has said in his own heart, I don't need God, I don't need instruction, I don't need wisdom, and because of that, I'm always right. So, foolishly using my speech is always prepared for contention. I want to say this. Do you know that most of the time when we react in haste, it's always the wrong way? The first thing that comes out of our mouth, 99.9% of the time, is always what shouldn't first. Many of us would love to press rewind and then go back, but it's too late. It's already been said. Many of us have to do that on a regular basis. And what does that reveal? I think it reveals the pride in our heart, and certainly that is what the Bible would indicate here. Secondly, according to our text, it also reveals a need for correction. I want you to see this part in Proverbs 18. This is a great principle. The Bible says, a fool's lips enter into contention, is always ready for strife. But notice what the second part says, and his mouth calleth for strokes. Now, I'll be honest with you, when I first read that, and have read it, I thought it was always Siri that a fool is like, you want a piece of me? That's what I always thought. I'm calling for strokes. I want to know if you dare step, because if you're willing to go, let's go. I mean, that's just the way I always thought it. I thought that's what I always read it. But then I believe with all of my heart that even today that God's that's not exactly what he's saying. In other words, when a fool, by his conscious display of arrogance, and because of his demand for justice that's only agreeable to his way, because of his pride, he invites the stroke, the correction, the chastisement of God upon his life by his very speech. And I want you to see this. In Proverbs 10 and verse 8, the Bible says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. It goes on. In fact, if you go back to Proverbs chapter 18, it says, even in our text, if you will, the Bible says, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will, listen, swallow up himself. Calls for strokes. Very demanding about his way, very critical about everybody else, but in being so insensitive and so arrogant, he's basically inviting the haughty spirit in a great fall. He's basically inviting the strokes, saying, no, 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 this is who I am, and I don't care that I don't need a God. Letter C, it also reveals, unfortunately, when we use our speech in a disparaging or a slanderous way, that we have a delight in strife and scandal. Verse 8, the words of a talebearer. doesn't say that. That's what it means, a whisper. I'll explain this. The Bible says the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. A talebearer, listen very carefully, is someone who misrepresents a truth that was only intended for private conversation, but in an endeavor to keep himself virtually better than others, feigns the wounds as if they're his own and shares the secret. That's what a talebearer is. A talebearer as wounds. Now, this may not sound, you know, or they kind of take that posture and then they whisper something, a truth. Some of it may not be truth, but oftentimes it is portionable. And then they whisper it, never intending for that necessary information to be public, but because the talebearer is foolish, they are willing to speak it. So they're drawn to scandal. They're drawn to strife. That's what's in the bottom of their heart. They have a delight in that. The talebearer, the Bible says, is strifeful even by the way he speaks. So let's just think of this here in a minute. The tongue is a little member that's set on fire of nature, sets on fire from hell. It's a little member. It's a revealing member. And because of its destructive power, number three, it must be then a yielded member. Now, we know from James, the Bible says that no man is able to bridle the tongue. Is that accurate? Okay, that's what the Bible says. But I want you to go to Romans chapter 6 for me just for a minute. I want to read some verses here. And I want to remember that God has given us a lot of different parts. Eyes, ears, a mouth, hands, feet. According to even the Bible's description, you know, we have lesser parts and greater parts, so to speak. But in Romans chapter 6, when we get saved, God says, this is what I want you to do with all of your members. He's not talking about members of a church. The Bible says in Romans 6 and verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Now remember at the very beginning I said Satan and sin want to control your tongue so badly every single day. So he goes on to say in verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Would that include your little member? Your tongue. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have watched, for as ye have, past tense, yielded your tongue. Would that be accurate? Could we put tongue there and it would still fit? Why? Because the tongue is a member. For as ye have yielded your tongues, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your tongues, servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. The tongue is a powerful member of our body, though a little one, and it must be surrendered and yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit of God, just like our eyeballs, just like our hands, just like our feet. In fact, I want you to turn just a page over to Romans chapter 7. I want you to look at verse 5. In fact, it may be there in your sight. The Bible says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our tongues. Would that be accurate? did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Go down to verse 23, Romans chapter 7. So we see that from nature we have this natural addiction to sin, and we have, according to verse 5, it was already at work in our members. The Bible says in verse 23, it was warring in our members. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Paul is talking about the battle back and forth. And he says, so what's the answer? Well, verse 24 says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He goes over again and says in Colossians 3, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Mortify therefore your tongues. That word mortify is an interesting word. It means to deprive of force. It means to render powerless. Let me ask you a question. Is your tongue powerful or powerless with the words that you use? In your own words, how would you describe your speech? In your own words, how would you describe your yieldedness of your tongue? You may have a yieldedness of your eyes. You may have a yieldedness of your ears and what you listen to. But what about what comes out of your face? What about the way that you say it? Remember about the marriage couples that ended in divorce. The negativity that came out was 5 times greater in the next decade. I'm just simply saying, the Bible tells us the mass destruction that a little fire can consume. We all know about brush fires. We all know about forest fires and how they just consume, but they don't always start big. They start very little. That's what the Bible likens our tongues to. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Psalm 19 and verse 14, I believe, is where we need to be tonight. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength. Did you know you can never tame that little member without God's help? But it starts with a choice. So, a yielded tongue, what is that going to yield to us? Well, I'm going to give it to you in 2 minutes. Letter A yielded tongue, unlike the on fire natural tongue, pacifies contention. Now, if you go back and you look at Proverbs 18 and verse 6, you know that a fool's lips enter into contention, but a yielded tongue to God pacifies it. Notice in your notes, Proverbs 15 verses 1 and 2, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Proverbs 15, 18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. You know, remember, don't forget that Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers. That's what a yielded tongue does. Let me ask you a question. Have you yielded your speech to the Lord Jesus Christ today? If not, maybe you're under very much conviction. You know the things that you may have said to your children. You know the things that you may have said to your spouse or to your boss or to your employees. Or not to the use of edifying. You know, a lot of people could look, I suppose, at a Christian and see perhaps a notable difference between the way a Christian ought look and the way the world looks. You know, one of the greatest differences that they're going to notice is the way you sound. The words that you use, how you use them. They're going to listen very carefully. By the way, your kids listen very carefully. They pick up everything that you say. A yielded tongue pacifieth contention. Letter B, a yielded tongue preserves life. You see, the Bible tells us in Proverbs, it said a fool's mouth is his own destruction. He wants to destroy others from progressing better than him and turns around and destroys himself. But the yielded tongue preserves life. The Bible says death and life, don't forget that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat of the fruit thereof. If you want your marriage to live, if you want your kids to thrive, watch the way you speak. If you want your relationship to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, watch the words that you use and choose them very carefully. Because there's a little member that boasts a great power. A yielded tongue, thirdly, then produces holiness. The Bible says in Romans 6 and verse 20, For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things are death. But now, here's the fruit. Being made free from sin and become servants to God. That's the yieldedness. Ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. On an old hillside in the country of England, there's a churchyard wherein stands a old gray drab slate tombstone on the hillside. The simple stone bears an epitaph not easily seen unless you stoop over and look very closely. The faint engraving reads on the tombstone as follows, and I quote, "Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue." Now, don't wait until it's too late to give God control of your tongue. Don't wait until that day. Yield that little member to Him now and watch Him use it for your glory. You know, they tell me that there's about 800,000 words in the English language. They tell me, Joel, that 300,000 of them are technical terms. So, the average person, they say, knows about 10,000 words, and they use, I suppose if you're a male and a mute, 5,000 in everyday speech. I don't know how many words that you use, but in your own words, how are you using the words that you use to edify, to build up, and honor the Lord? How did you honor Him today? How did you edify the person that you live with? Because that's what it's all about. Foolish speech or wise speech? It's all about tongue management. Who has control of that little member? You or does the Lord? Heavenly Father, I love You and I thank You for this very simple lesson. I